following speech was made by the President at Pocatello, Idaho, May 10, 1950.
The President of the United States.
The honor is here, 1948. A little early in the morning, I think it was about 7:50 I got here. They told me then there wouldn't be anybody up. Never darn sure there wouldn't be anybody up this morning, but you fooled them. Fooled me too, I don't mind telling you. Oh, I do. I get plenty of sleep. You may have heard I'm an early riser. I get up early every morning. That's the photographer's newspaper man about that. And I'm used to tackling problems, no matter what time it is. This morning, even though it's only 6 o'clock, I want to talk to you about the greatest scientific discovery of the century. Or in history, in fact, atomic energy. The first atomic explosion in history took place down in the deserts of New Mexico in July 1945. I was over in Potsdam. I've been in conference with Winston Churchill and Joe Stalin, and we've been discussing a world peace program. When this notice came to me that the atomic energy explosion had taken place, I called a meeting of our military advisors. General Marshall, General Eisenhower, General Bradley, General Patton, Admiral Nimitz, Admiral King, and several other able and distinguished gentlemen, including the Secretary of State and the Secretary of War at that time. And we discussed the situation and how we should approach the use of it. And I informed those gentlemen at that time that I would do my utmost to see that this new discovery was used in a way which would make the world a better place in which to live. I've been working at that ever since. I had to issue the order which caused the dropping of the first two atomic bombs on our enemy. And I made that order after due consideration, conference with all our military leaders, and when they informed me that the landings in Japan would probably cost 200,000 the cream of our American young soldiers and sailors, I made up my mind that the best way to save the lives of those young men, and also the best way to save the lives of the Japanese soldiers also, was to drop those bombs and end the war. And I did it, and I'll say to you, I'd do it again if I had to. We've been making real progress. In putting atomic energy to work, already the atomic research has led to important discoveries in medicine, and there's real promise that it will lead to much better grains and livestock on our farms. Up at ARCO, the Atomic Energy Commission is now constructing a reactor testing station. From the knowledge we gain there, it should be possible to develop machines to generate useful power and drive ships and airplanes. You know, nearly all the destructive weapons that have been discovered in times past have eventually been put to use for peacetime purposes. Now, if we're not ingenious enough and have not the sense to do that same thing with the most awful release of the atom, then I'm here to tell you that we probably ought to be destroyed. And I'm here to say to you that we're not going to be destroyed. We're going to use that great energy for the welfare and benefit of the human race and not for its destruction. ARCO is a truly cooperative venture. It represents the combined efforts of the Atomic Energy Commission, private industries, universities, and research institutions from coast to coast. We are pooling all the resources we have in this great undertaking to harness atomic energy for the beneficial use of mankind. Throughout our history, scientists and scientific knowledge have contributed to our progress as a nation. If we want to keep up that progress, we need to stimulate scientific discovery and research and to train more young men and women for our laboratories and research centers. To carry out these objectives, I have just signed the National Science Foundation Act of 1950. This act is of tremendous importance because it will add to our knowledge in every branch of science. I'm confident that will help us to develop the best scientific brains in the nation. It will enable the United States to maintain its leadership in scientific matters and to exert a more vital force for peace. Whatever the future may hold, we must spend every effort toward our major objective. And that major objective is world peace and the welfare of all mankind, no matter what his race, creed, or color may be, and no matter what part of the world he may live in. Now, I'm making this trip around over the United States to report to you as the President of the United States. I came out here in 1948 asking you for votes. I'm back here now as President of the United States, not running for any office, but to report to you as I report to the Congress every year under the Constitution. I'm making to you personally and giving to you personally a message on the State of the Union and what goes on and what I believe and what I'm trying to do. And if I tell it to you, it can't be garbled, because when you hear me talk, nobody can transfer those remarks to mean something else. I may come along later in the season and do a little politicking. But right now, I'm reporting to the nation on its condition, on what it needs and what I hope I can give it for its welfare and benefit, on what I hope to contribute to world peace, and what I hope to obtain for, as I said a minute ago, for the welfare of all mankind. I can't tell you how very much I appreciate this early turnout. It's surprising to everybody. I think it's surprising to yourselves, but I appreciate it most highly. No, you wouldn't expect Margaret and Beth to be up this time of day.